Today is Friday, January 16th, and you are listening to the World Socialist Website. For a general strike to stop Trump's occupation of Minneapolis. By the Socialist Equality Party, US. On Tuesday, a coalition of local unions and community organizations in Minneapolis, Minnesota, called a walkout for Friday, January 23rd, framed as a one-day general strike and statewide economic shutdown to oppose the rampage by Trump's Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, including the murder of Renee Nicole Good. The Socialist Equality Party supports this action and urges the broadest possible participation by workers, students, and youth. The call for a walkout has emerged under growing pressure from working people across Minnesota who are outraged by the paramilitary occupation of their city. Protests have spread over the 10 days since the brutal killing of Good, who, according to recently released reports, was shot twice in her chest and once in her forearm as she was driving away from ICE officials. The call for the general strike can prove to be an important step forward in the fight against ICE's reign of terror in Minneapolis, but this action must be conceived of as the beginning of a broader mobilization of the working class in the city, state, and throughout the country against the Trump administration. The call for action comes as Trump has threatened to invoke the Insurrection Act in Minnesota. This is a qualitative escalation in his conspiracy to establish a dictatorship. In a Truth Social post, Trump, responding to the protests that have erupted over the ICE murder of Good, declared that if state officials do not stop the professional agitators and insurrections from attacking the patriots of ICE, he will institute the Insurrection Act and quickly put an end to the travesty that is taking place in that once great state. By branding protests and popular resistance as insurrection, the Trump regime is laying the groundwork for mass violence. The Insurrection Act gives the president the power to deploy the US military, overriding the Posse Comitatus Act. Trump's threat to invoke the Insurrection Act against Minnesota's population, absent any request from the state, and in response to peaceful protests, is blatantly illegal. The stark reality of what is happening was acknowledged in the extraordinary statement by Democratic Governor Tim Walz Wednesday evening. He declared that developments in the state defy belief, and that news reports simply don't do justice to the level of chaos and disruption and trauma the federal government is raining down upon our communities. Walz stated that 2,000 to 3,000 armed agents of the federal government have been deployed across the state, going door to door, pulling over people indiscriminately, including US citizens, and demanding to see their papers, and breaking windows, dragging pregnant women down the street, just plain grabbing Minnesotans and shoving them into unmarked vans, kidnapping innocent people with no warning and no due process. Walz described the operation as a campaign of organized brutality against the people of Minnesota by our own federal government, citing Trump's fascistic threat that the day of retribution and reckoning is coming. The governor stated, "That is a direct threat against the people of this state." What Walz said about the situation in Minneapolis is true, but what is completely lacking is any serious strategy to stop Trump and ICE. Walz spoke about fighting in the courts and at the ballot box, but Trump has already made clear that he will ignore any legal decisions that challenge his authority. Moreover, the Supreme Court is controlled by a gang of fascists and reactionaries who ruled in 2024 that Trump cannot be prosecuted for official acts carried out as president. As for elections, Trump is making ever more overt threats to cancel or nullify the 2026 midterm elections, or, if they are held, conduct them under conditions of martial law. In an interview with Reuters, published Thursday, Trump declared that he had accomplished so much that we shouldn't even have an election. Bloomberg reported Wednesday that the administration is building a national voter database and demanding states turn over complete voter rolls, including social security numbers and home addresses. With this infrastructure in place, ICE agents could be deployed at polling places to verify voters, suppress turnout, and intimidate working class and immigrant communities. In explaining Washington's invasion of Venezuela earlier this month, Secretary of State Marco Rubio bluntly stated, "When Trump says he'll do something, he means it." This same logic now applies to Trump's threats to invoke the Insurrection Act, cancel elections, and impose martial law. There is massive opposition within Minneapolis and beyond to the police state occupation and Trump's unfolding coup. In the weeks since the murder of Good, there have been daily demonstrations, high school walkouts, and acts of protest and resistance involving broad sections of the population. But resistance will only succeed if it is grounded in the active mobilization of the working class, the immense social force that produces all wealth and holds the power to bring society to a halt. What is required is a shift away from the non-struggle and collaboration of the Democratic Party and toward the independent organization of a mass movement of workers. This is the significance of the action called on January 23rd. The World Socialist website has repeatedly raised the need for a general strike movement in response to the occupation of Minneapolis. But a general strike is not a symbolic protest or consumer boycott. It means the complete shutdown of production and economic activity. Workers must reject the threats issued by the governor-appointed Metropolitan Council that participation in strike action is prohibited by public employee laws and collective bargaining agreements. The Trump administration is operating openly outside the bounds of legality. The defense of democratic rights cannot be subordinated to contract technicalities negotiated by the union apparatus to suppress the class struggle. And the entire working class must be mobilized. While a number of local unions have endorsed the January 23rd demonstration, the Minnesota AFL-CIO, closely tied to the Democratic Party, has thus far refused to do so. In the aftermath of the murder of Renee Nicole Good, the State Labor Federation issued a statement declaring itself shocked, heartbroken, and angry, but did not call for any action. Instead, it directed workers to place their confidence in a full investigation and in appeals to elected officials. In comments to the WSWS on Thursday, Bernie Burnham, president of Minnesota AFL-CIO, claimed that she had to consult with the executive board before making any statement about a strike or support for the January 23rd action. The Socialist Equality Party calls on workers to organize independently through the formation of rank-and-file committees in every workplace, school, and neighborhood. The fight of workers cannot be subordinated to the operations of the Democratic Party or the trade union apparatus, which is hostile to a real struggle against Trump. Workers should immediately hold emergency meetings at every factory, school, warehouse, depot, and workplace, union and non-union. At these meetings, workers should elect representatives to form rank-and-file committees charged with coordinating and directing the struggle and the defense of the people. Resolutions should be adopted endorsing open-ended strike action. Such resolutions must articulate a concrete set of demands, including the arrest and prosecution of Renee Nicole Good's killer, the immediate withdrawal of all ICE, CBP, and DHS forces, the abolition of these paramilitary agencies that terrorize immigrant communities, and the immediate release of all detainees held in ICE custody. Coordinating committees should be established to link these rank-and-file bodies across industries and regions, creating the structures necessary for common action on a mass scale. There is a powerful precedent for such a movement in the history of the city itself. In 1934, Minneapolis was the site of one of the most militant and significant general strikes in American history, led by Trotskyist militants and the Teamsters. Workers defied the Citizens' Alliance, the National Guard, and police repression. Despite shootings and martial law, they won decisive victories and laid the foundation for industrial unionism across the country. Today, the situation is even more urgent. Workers confront not only employers' associations and National Guard repression, but a fascist president, the paramilitary forces of the state, and an escalating war abroad and at home. Minnesota is not, as Walz claimed in his remarks Wednesday, an island. What is happening in Minneapolis is the spearhead of a broader conspiracy to impose dictatorship. Trump speaks and acts as the political instrument of the capitalist oligarchy, which is dispensing with democratic forms of rule. The Democratic Party, a party of Wall Street and the military intelligence apparatus, is hostile to any genuine movement against this danger. The strike movement, now emerging in Minneapolis, must be expanded across the country and internationally. The International Workers' Alliance of Rank and File Committees, the IWA-RFC, has been established to provide the structure and leadership for such a global counteroffensive. It fights to connect opposition to fascism and dictatorship with the struggle of the working class against war, job cuts, inflation, and social misery. The Socialist Equality Party urges all workers to take up a serious discussion in every workplace about what must be done. The situation is urgent. The way forward is not through appeals to courts or the next election, but through the independent political mobilization of the working class. Following Trump's threat, European powers send troops to Greenland. By Peter Schwartz. US President Donald Trump's persistent threats to take over Greenland have provoked strong reactions in Europe. After Trump repeatedly asserted his claim to the huge island, which belongs to Denmark as an autonomous territory, in recent days, and a Danish-American meeting in Washington ended without a resolution, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, Germany, and France have sent military reinforcements to Greenland. For the time being, only a few soldiers and ships have been sent to explore further options. The mission is justified by the need to allay Trump's concerns that Greenland is not sufficiently protected against Russian and Chinese attacks. In fact, it is intended to deter the US from annexing Greenland by force, even though it would offer little resistance to an American military operation. The US president has justified his claim to Greenland on the grounds of US national security, among other things. "We need Greenland," he said, "to prevent Russia and China from owning it." He added threateningly that the takeover could be done the easy way or the hard way. The meeting between the foreign ministers of Denmark and Greenland with US Vice President J.D. Vance and Secretary of State Marco Rubio, which took place in Washington on Wednesday, did not blow up as previously feared, but it also did not bring the parties any closer together. "We have not succeeded in changing the American position. There is a fundamental difference of opinion," Danish Foreign Minister Lars Løkke Rasmussen told the press afterwards. Rasmussen and his Greenlandic colleagues, Vivian Motzfeldt, had made it clear that they are prepared to work closely with the US to turn Greenland into an armed fortress against Russia and China, and to exploit the valuable raw materials stored beneath the island and the adjacent Arctic. But the US insists on owning the island itself. A joint working group will discuss further steps. In Europe, outrage over Trump's claim to Greenland has reached fever pitch. The media and all established parties are up in arms over his threat to forcibly seize territory from a NATO partner. 7 European heads of government, including Friedrich Merz, Germany, Emmanuel Macron, France, Keir Starmer, Great Britain, Giorgia Meloni, Italy, and Donald Tusk, Poland, signed a joint statement against Trump's annexation plans in early January. They emphasise that the island belongs to the Greenlandic people. What motivates the European leaders is not concern for international law, and certainly not for the Greenlandic people. The same media and leaders who criticise Trump over Greenland have supported and continue to support his numerous other crimes, from the genocide in Gaza to the bombing of Iran and the attempt to forcibly bring about regime change there. They even welcomed the attack on Venezuela and the kidnapping of President Maduro, which clearly violated international law, even though Trump openly boasted that his goal was to steal Venezuelan oil. Nor do European governments raise any criticism of the destruction of democracy in the US. The terror of the ICE Gestapo, the instrumentalisation of the judiciary, and the unpunished murder of peaceful citizens such as Renee Nicole Good, even though they are otherwise relentless in condemning human rights violations when it comes to Russia or China. Instead, the European governments are competing to flatter the fascist gangster in the White House. Even with regard to Greenland, the Europeans' claims are not as clear-cut as they pretend. Although the island belongs to the Kingdom of Denmark under international law, it enjoys a high degree of autonomy. Copenhagen only has a say in foreign policy and defence. The Greenlanders themselves regulate internal affairs. The 2009 Self-Government Act expressly guarantees them the right to self-determination. They can therefore decide for themselves at any time whether they want to remain part of Denmark or not. Greenland is also not, as is often claimed, part of the European Union. In 1973, it became a member of the European Community, the EC, the predecessor of the EU, as part of Denmark, even though 70% of Greenlanders had voted against it. After gaining internal autonomy, Greenland held its own referendum in 1982, in which 53% voted in favour of withdrawal, which was completed in 1985. Since then, Greenland has only been associated with the EU as an overseas country or territory. Greenland's relationship with Denmark, which exploited the island as a colony for over two centuries, is also not as close as the government portrays it to be. Between 1966 and 1991, the Danish government implemented a brutal contraception program on the island to reduce the birth rate. For a quarter of a century, every second woman, including many girls, had an intrauterine device inserted without their knowledge. The Danish government did not apologise for this crime until 2025, 6 years after Trump first laid claim to Greenland. Greenland, which has a population of only about 55,000, is dependent on financial support from Denmark. However, at €80 million per year, this support is very modest. It is therefore quite possible that Trump will try to bring Greenland under his control with an offer they cannot refuse, a combination of threats, blackmail, and incentives. This is likely to be the subject of negotiations agreed upon by the foreign ministers of Denmark and Greenland with Vance and Rubio. The Europeans are not concerned with justice and self-determination in Greenland. Rather, they fear losing out in the ruthless struggle for raw materials, markets and profits, that is, once again defining the relationship between the imperialist powers. They fear that Trump will break up NATO before they are strong enough to wage wars on their own. That is why they are rearming on a scale not seen since Hitler and reintroducing conscription to recruit cannon fodder for the next war. The conflict over Greenland is a convenient excuse to close political ranks and stifle resistance to rearmament and war. All parties in the Bundestag, from the left party to the far-right Alternative for Germany, the AfD, are in agreement on the Greenland issue. All three opposition parties stand behind the government. Left party leader Jan van Aken demanded, "Not a single millimetre of Greenland will go to the US." He called on the government to make it clear who calls the shots. "Trump's behaviour reminds him of Russia's annexation of Crimea in 2014, said Van Aken. "Everyone criticised it at the time, then turned away and carried on as if nothing had happened. If there is no clear statement from Germany, from Friedrich Merz, said the Left Party leader, the US will continue to do the same. For Green Party leader Felix Banaszak, this is not enough. He accused the Left Party of talking about US state terrorism, but failing to answer the question of what Germany and the European Union actually want to do to survive in a changed world order. What is needed, he said, is European sovereignty, European resilience, European strength. This also includes greater defence capabilities. For the AfD, which maintains close ties to Trump's MAGA movement, and Vice President Vance, German interests also take precedence in the case of Greenland. Party leader Alice Weidel accused Trump of violating a basic campaign promise, namely not to interfere in other countries. Co-party leader Tino Chrupalla accused Trump of using Wild West methods. It is clear, he said, that the end does not always justify the means. No one should be carried away by this war propaganda under the guise of defending Greenland. Not only Trump, but also Merz, Macron, Starmer, and Maloney are preparing new wars to defend imperialist interests in a world where only the law of the strongest applies. The answer to Trump's annexation plans is not European military strength, but the mobilization of the international working class against war and capitalism. The workers of Europe and the US are allies in this struggle. Governments advance universal digital identification, mass surveillance and censorship. By Stephen Parker. The governments of the United States, the European Union, Britain and Australia are moving in coordination to abolish online anonymity and impose universal systems of digital identification under the pretext of protecting children. They are constructing a framework of surveillance and censorship directed at the political radicalization of workers and youth. On December 11, 2025, the US House Energy and Commerce Subcommittee advanced the Kids Online Safety Act, COSA, and the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, COPPA 2.0, legislation that would effectively require age verification for access to social media and online services. Additionally, Republican Senator Josh Hawley and Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal introduced the Guidelines for User Age Verification and Responsible Dialogue, GARD, Act on October 28, 2025, a bill that would require AI chatbot providers to verify the ages of users and impose restrictions on minors' access to AI systems. Australia's social media ban for minors under 16 passed in late 2024 under the Online Safety Amendment Act officially took effect on December 10, 2025. Platforms including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, X, YouTube, Reddit and Snapchat face fines of up to $49.5 million for non-compliance. In practice, verifying that users are 16 or older requires platforms to demand identification or biometric data from all users, including adults. The timing of this measure, following mass opposition among youth and workers to the Gaza genocide, underscores its political character. The European Union is negotiating the final terms of the so-called chat control law, which would force messaging platforms to verify users' ages and expose private communications, undermining encryption and online anonymity under the guise of protecting children. All such systems permanently tie individuals' real-world identities to their online activity, making proof of identity a constant requirement for taking part in social and political life. The international coordination of these policies reflects a conscious political strategy. Since 2011, social media has facilitated the circulation of oppositional ideas and the organisation of mass protests, from the Arab Spring and Occupy Wall Street to the 2024 demonstrations against the genocide in Gaza. Encrypted messaging apps have enabled workers to coordinate strikes outside the control of the trade union bureaucracies. The ruling class views these developments as threats to be neutralised. The drive toward digital authoritarianism and online censorship is part of a broader assault on democratic rights. The same governments pushing universal digital ID are conducting mass deportations, criminalising protests, expanding police powers, gutting press freedoms, and waging wars of aggression abroad. The attacks on online anonymity by major imperialist powers are of a piece with the attack on the right to asylum, the right to strike, and the right to oppose government policy without state surveillance. COSA, sponsored by Senators Marsha Blackburn, Republican Tennessee, and Richard Blumenthal, Democrat Connecticut, passed the Senate 91-3 on July 30, 2024, with the backing of then-Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Minority Whip John Thune, reflecting bipartisan support for a sweeping attack on online anonymity. The legislation was reintroduced on May 14, 2025, and the House Subcommittee advanced it on December 11, 2025. The Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, unanimously approved amendments to the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, COPPA 2.0, on January 16, 2025, expanding government oversight of children's online activity under the guise of privacy protection. The rules took effect on June 23, 2025, with a compliance deadline of April 22, 2026. The FTC has scheduled a workshop on age verification technologies for January 28, 2026. On October 28, 2025, fascist Republican Senator Josh Hawley introduced the GUARD Act, Guidelines for User Age Verification and Responsible Dialogue, with bipartisan co-sponsors, including Democratic Senators Richard Blumenthal, Chris Murphy, Mark Warner, and Mark Kelly. The bill would force AI chatbots to verify users' ages and disclose their non-human status, extending government surveillance into digital platforms under the guise of protecting children. The bill would force age verification for all AI chatbot users, prohibit minors from accessing AI companions, and impose criminal penalties of up to 20 years imprisonment. The Supreme Court's June 2025 ruling in Free Speech Coalition v. Paxton upheld a Texas law requiring age verification for websites with more than one-third sexually explicit content. Justice Clarence Thomas, writing for the majority, joined by Roberts, Alito, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett, declared that the First Amendment does not grant adults a right to anonymous access that outweighs a state's interest in protecting minors. Across the US, more than a dozen states have enacted age verification laws, requiring proof of age to access online adult content or other such services, even as some of these states face legal challenges, and enforcement varies by jurisdiction. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed the App Store Accountability Act, SB 2420, on May 27, 2025, requiring age verification at App Store account creation. A federal judge blocked the law in December 2025 as unconstitutionally vague. In Louisiana, a federal judge ruled on December 18, 2025, that SB 162, requiring age verification for social media users under 16, violates the First Amendment. Missouri's age verification law took effect on November 30, 2025, with penalties of $10,000 per day for non-compliance. The European Commission first proposed the Child Sexual Abuse Regulation, CHAC control, in May 2022, after the European Court of Human Rights ruled in defence of encrypted communications in early 2024. The EU Council suspended a planned vote. On November 26, 2025, EU ambassadors approved a revised proposal by a narrow margin, with Italy, the Czech Republic, and Poland voting against and the Netherlands abstaining. The framework includes mandatory age verification for messaging platforms and voluntary scanning of non-encrypted messages. Meredith Whitaker, president of the Signal Foundation and its encrypted messaging app, stated, "If forced to choose between undermining encryption and data protection guarantees or leaving Europe, Signal would unfortunately make the decision to leave the market." Trilogue negotiations between the Council and Parliament began December 9, 2025, with a final deal expected by June 2026. In mid-December 2025, members of the UK House of Lords introduced amendments to the Children's Wellbeing and Schools Bill, requiring mandatory on-device surveillance software on smartphones and tablets unremovable by users. Additional amendments would ban VPN access to users under 18. On November 25, 2025, the Alaska Department of Administration issued a request for information on integrating agentic AI into the state's MyAlaska mobile application. The system would enable AI agents to complete transactions on behalf of users with biometric authentication via facial recognition or fingerprints, extending to 300 digital services and a digital wallet for driver's licenses, permits, and certifications. In Brazil, the government has deployed the Alethea AI system, which continuously scans social media, blogs, and news sites for statements classified as disinformation or hate speech, identifying individuals for prosecution. Google's Play Age Signals API, published in November 2025, provides age-related signals to Android applications, effectively classifying users into various age ranges. On December 10, 2025, the Trump administration announced proposed rules requiring applicants from 42 visa waiver countries to submit 5 years of social media history, email addresses used in the past 10 years, telephone numbers, facial data, fingerprints, DNA samples, and iris images through the ESTA mobile application. A separate, final rule, effective December 26, 2025, expands biometric collection from virtually all non-US citizens at entry and exit. The consensus behind these measures, from the 91-3 Senate vote for COSA to the Supreme Court's 6-3 ruling upholding age verification, demonstrates that both parties of the American ruling class support the abolition of online anonymity. Australia passed its social media ban in November 2024, weeks after mass protests against Israeli genocide in Gaza swept university campuses. The claim that these measures protect children is a fraud. The same governments imposing age verification are arming Israel's slaughter of children in Gaza, cutting funding for schools and healthcare, and forcing youth into military service for imperialist wars. The target is political opposition. Brazil's Alethea system, scanning social media for prosecutable speech, shows the trajectory, from protecting children to criminalising dissent. The working class cannot defend democratic rights through appeals to the courts or capitalist politicians. US federal judges have blocked some state laws on First Amendment grounds, but the Supreme Court has ruled that age verification is constitutional. The EU has overridden objections from various civil liberties organisations. More fundamentally, the defence of privacy requires a political struggle against the capitalist system. The same ruling class constructing universal digital identification is waging war abroad, invading Venezuela, arming genocide in Gaza, escalating to a conflict with Russia and China, and building a police state at home through mass deportations, attacks on the press, and the gutting of constitutional protections. These are two fronts of the same war against the working class. Only the independent political mobilisation of workers, aimed at the expropriation of the technology monopolies and the socialist reorganisation of society, can halt the descent into digital authoritarianism. For these articles and more today, visit the World Socialist website, wsws.org. This has been John Davis.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.